Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I have an amazing episode for you today. Make sure you listen the whole way through. This is one of my favorite podcasts I've recorded in a long time. I speak with Inner Circle member Tanya, who was recently diagnosed as a pre-diabetic, and she also gained a lot of weight over the pandemic. And so throughout this podcast and conversation, we discuss how she can improve her nutrition, what she can do to get rid of the extra COVID weight, and also what she can do for her mental health as well to develop a better relationship with food and stay more consistent. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and Spotify and everywhere. It helps the podcast a ton. And if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at the link in the show notes or www.sfinnercircle.com. Let's get into it. I'm just gonna hit record.
Oh, God. And
Tanya, we are live.
Okay.
We're live. Remember, nothing to be nervous about. I'm a short, bald, nerdy guy. Nothing to worry about. We're going to have an amazing conversation. I'm very excited. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing really well. What are you up to?
Do you know what? Just enjoying a day off today. I mean, I'm retired, so some people think I have every day off. But not so. I babysit grandkids. So,
well, that's a job. That's a real job. That's no joke.
Yeah, it's no joke.
That is no joke. I mean, you got to keep your eye on them all the time.
Oh my God, they're crazy.
How old are they, and how many are they?
So, the two I'm babysitting. One of my middle daughter just has a 6-week-old baby, so I'm not babysitting her yet.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so baby's home with mama for a while, but my oldest daughter has a 2.5-year-old and a 1-year-old, and they are just so fun and just so busy, though.
you've got your hands full. That is,
yeah,
for
a
sure
lot of energy.
You've got your hands full.
That's why I need to lose weight. I need energy.
I mean, it's cool that you said a two-year-old and a
1-year-old
and yeah. 2-year-old and a 6-week-old. That's going to be so fun for them growing up. Do they live close to each other as well?
We're all in the same area. Finally, it took a while. Everyone was spread out during college and stuff, but now everybody's come home to roost and they all have their, you know, my son is pregnant. His fiance is pregnant. So,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, we're all popping out. You got lots of babies coming, and they all call me Alma.
So
Alma needs to be healthy.
So talk to me. I read your email, but do me a favor, just like remind me what are you going through? What are you struggling with, and how can I help?
Okay. Obviously I'm struggling with losing weight. That's, you know, the broad picture. I'd say I'm going to be 59 this month, and I'd say the last 20 years have been yo-yo dieting. Like when I was younger, I know some people had problems as a teenager, as a youth, as a young mom, never had a weight problem. Very active, you know, even, you know, I was a competitive swimmer, you know, back in the day, and always been a member of a gym, always been super active. But the last 20 years, you know, from like 38 to age 58 have been just really up and down, the high of 215, the low of 150, weight loss attempt. You know, my greatest weight loss attempt was 10 years ago where I lost 40 pounds. I put it all back on. Plus, a lot of that weight loss was through exercise, running, did a lot, been super active. In my 50s, I've run a full marathon. I've done 100-mile bike rides.
Wow.
I've done the breast cancer walk where you do 21 miles a day. So big challenges, big physical challenges I've always loved. But now my weight's at a point where I don't, you know, I do what I can. But I'm at a 215 right now. And it's the highest. I've actually lost 4 pounds in the last 2 weeks. So technically 211,
I guess. There we go. That's amazing.
But so it's just this yo-yo diet of trying. I mean, one of my friends says, oh, I just did this. I'm on it. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, not so much since I've been listening to you. But before, it's like, you're doing Jenna Craig, I'll do Jenna Craig. You're doing this, my friend says she lost weight eating chocolate covered cherries every single night from the dollar store. And I was like, and this is after I started listening to you. She goes, Tanya, go down to the dollar store, buy the chocolate colored cherries. She's from New York. She's got this accent. She goes, eat the two chocolate colored cherries every night. You're going to lose the weight. And I'm like, I wonder what Jordan would say about that.
You know exactly what I would say about that.
See, but believe me, I pass the dollar store and I'm like, it's only a dollar.
You're like, fuck it. Why not? It's only a dollar.
I hate chocolate covered cherries.
And then check your weight the next morning to see if it works.
Yep. Because I'm also that person that, okay, you know, I try something and then in 5 days, if the scale doesn't move, I'm over it. Like, move on. I've even worked at Weight Watchers for a while, which almost made it worse as far as Weight Watchers, because I was like, once I got inside, I was like, oh. Great organization, you know, yeah, for those who it works for, I think it's a great thing. But I obviously I got let go during the pandemic and
okay.
So I had a little stint there, but then they went online and stuff like that and they let us all go. I like to say I was fired, and my daughter's saying being dramatic, but I'm like, I've never been fired from a job. Like, you're being dramatic. You were let go during the pandemic. So anyway, I've just done it all. I've tried it all. I've been listening to you. And I listen. I don't know if you have any other people like this. I listen a lot. It's just the doing, you know, like the nutrition part. The exercise. I've done the Unicorn Challenge twice.
Okay. How'd it go?
It went great as far as the workouts go. I guess I haven't done it because I didn't do, you know, I did all the workouts. But I didn't lose any weight because I'm, you know, I really, you know, I like Susan's, you know, that nutrition drives the car.
Yeah.
I should be the poster child for that saying because I do the workouts. I do the work. I do my 10,000 steps a day. I lift. Now I'm doing just your monthly edition, the 3 times a week. I do the lifting. I do the walking 10,000 steps a day and I gain weight. I'd say the pandemic really. I was okay. And then 2020, from 2020 to now, I gained 25 pounds. That's my biggest, you know, chunk of weight gain. And a lot of it was only in that first 18 months. We're a first responder family, law enforcement family. So the summer of 2020, like, oh God, I don't want to get emotional.
Okay. It's totally fine.
It was, you know, I don't want to offend people, you know, because
we are in law enforcement,
but
if people, I support law enforcement and all of that 100%. Thank God for the men and women who are willing to put their lives on the line for us. And, if anyone's offended by that, then they can leave. That's not a political statement. That's just, listen, there are good and bad people. There are good and bad police officers. There are good and bad lawyers. There are good and bad personal trainers. We can't just generalize and say all cops or law enforcement are bad. I think the vast majority are very, very good. And unfortunately, a few bad ones give them all a bad name. But I think there's no question that between you and me, I fully support law enforcement. I thank God every day that we have people who are willing to put their lives on the line for our communities. And if anyone's offended by that, then quite honestly, they can go fuck off. Just period. You know what I mean? Like straight up. Like that's all I have to say about that. So please don't worry about offending anybody, and be proud of those in your family who put their lives on the line. Be proud of it for sure.
Yeah, and we are, and they're like I say, no one hates a bad cop more than a good cop. You know?
Correct.
They are. And in our town, I live in California. I think I live in. Our community is just freaking crazy. I mean, I live in Sonoma County, wine country.
Okay.
and the town went like nuts that summer. And it was very scary for my husband's off the streets now. He was 30 years in where I live in Santa Rosa, and he was, lieutenant, you know, retired as a lieutenant with the city of Santa Rosa. And now my son-in-law. So then I thought, okay, now we're done having cops on the street. But then my daughter married a cop. So we're right back in it. So holidays are all fucked up. And the last 30 years are going to be the next 30 years.
Isn't that how it works?
It's just crazy. So a lot of, you know, he had a brand new baby at that time and he was pretty destroyed. And as was a lot of, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, growing up as the wife of a cop, a lot of our friends' kids became officers also. Thank God my son didn't. He's a PE teacher.
Oh, good.
Because I couldn't have handled it. But it was rough, and I emotionally eat, I probably gained over 10 pounds just that summer because I just kept eating it like every day and every, you know. Finally, we talked to some friends that their son's a cop, and they're like, turn off the news, watch Family Feud or something crazy, like just get away from it. And I tried, but you know, we're so closely involved that, you know, it was hard to avoid it completely. Every time I'd see my son-in-law, you know, it was hard, but I mean, we got through it. He got through it. You know, I think if he could quit, he probably would. But the only other thing he wants to do is be a soccer coach. And it's like, well, good luck with that. So my son's a PE teacher. He's like, dude, you have the best job in the world. But so anyway, that's kind of my background, is just a lot of emotional eating. And, you know, obviously the pandemic stress, that my daughter's an ER nurse. So that was another thing, is with a, you know, she was going to die from the COVID. You know,
you got a family of first responders.
Yeah. So it was a lot of where everyone else was staying home from work. You know, they were out there before, and I was babysitting their baby. They only had one at that time, and they were worried about, are we going to bring it home from work? And they would change clothes in the garage before they came in the house. My daughter couldn't even pick up her baby when she came home from work. She'd go take a shower, you know.
Yeah.
It was just really stressful. And it just seemed like, and my son came over to talk to me one day. He's like, Mom, you seem like you're spinning. And I said, honey, I just need to skate for a while. Like, I don't want to worry about COVID for one day. I don't want to worry about the riots and the hatred, and I just want to skate. And he goes, Mom, don't wait. You're not going to. He's like the wisest person I know. He's just such a doll. He's like, don't wait. Don't wait to get your life together. Don't wait to do what you want to do, you know, until everything in this entire country is perfect and settled and nice and happy. It's not the 80s. Like, don't. He's like, just live your life. And when something happens, it happens, you know, you catastrophic thinking, you know. I'm like, yeah, you guys don't even appreciate that. I stay up all night long worrying about all your problems. That's what I do. But so I do tend to go to that catastrophic thing, you know. And obviously my son-in-law's okay. My daughter's okay. You know, no one died during the pandemic. We were the lucky ones, and we didn't get COVID till last May, which that was horrible. But Jesus, that was hard. That was so hard. But anyway, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm doing the emotional eating. I'm better now, you know, but I think it all led to me getting to this weight that now I'm pre-diabetic. Now my cholesterol is high. So now it's like health concerns.
Got it.
And I feel like my biggest problem with any kind of nutrition program is I don't stick to it. Mm. I don't, I try to do the consistency calendar, but I'm not even consistent with checking off the X and O's. It's like, I'm so inconsistent. I can't do a consistency calendar. Even I'm putting in an O every day. Like, I feel like the inner circle has all the tools right there. You know, you've provided so much content and so many good things, you know, with the body weight tracker and the workouts and the consistency calendar and the podcasts and the Facebook, you know, it's like, I have it. It's all right there in front of me. I just don't, you know, I'm not taking that. I did, you know, finally the last 2 weeks I did lose, which was shocking because I haven't lost weight in 10 years, is with my pre-diabetic diagnosis, I went and saw a dietitian, and that helped. So I really had to cut back on the carbs and sugar. And because I just love sugar, like I'm obsessed, like really bad. But that was a big wake up call. You know, I don't, my entire mom's side of the family is diabetic. Like, if I were to call one of my cousins and say I'm pre-diabetic, they would be like, oh, welcome to the club. Like, they don't even care. Like, they don't even like, but I do care, you know, like I am, we are all, you know, our whole family, we're all very, everyone's very active and, you know, going to gyms and, you know, but my husband is like Superman. Like, he just does, he's a, you know, cyclist, and he just, he's been trying to gain 5 pounds since I met him. So that's his story. So done with, yeah, he's just natural, you know, he just, yeah, he does. He just doesn't have a problem, you know? Yeah. So it's kind of hard living with that sometimes. I don't think he understands. I think he's just like, I don't know, just eat less. What's the big deal?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard, especially like if that's just how he is, like, it's how he's hardwired. It's hard for them to understand. Like, yes, technically you're right, just eat less, but it's not that easy. You know, there are many other factors at play. You know, so there's a lot to consider here. The one thing I'm glad you brought up is health, because earlier when you were talking about all the things that you've done, you know, the marathon and the breast cancer walk, and you go to the gym, all that stuff. At first I was like, well, this is great, because the most important thing is that you're healthy. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And then as you kept going, you mentioned you got the pre-diabetes diagnosis. And so now it's like, okay, so you said your cholesterol is high. Now it's like, okay, we've really got to get this under control for your health. I'm much more concerned and focused on how do we get you healthy than how do we reach a certain weight on the scale. Mm-hmm. But it is important for me to understand like where your motivation is. And it sounds like, tell me if I'm wrong, it sounds like with the pre-diabetes diagnosis.
Yeah.
It sounds like that really jarred you. That really Absolutely. Was like, okay, I've really got to get my shit together now so it doesn't progress even further. And so it sounds like you've got your stuff a little bit more in order now. Over the last 2 weeks, you've lost 4 pounds. What have you done over the last 2 weeks from a nutrition perspective that you've enjoyed?
Enjoyed?
Yes.
Seeing the scale move, but from the nutrition perspective?
Correct. From a nutrition perspective.
From the food.
Yes. Probably, and if there's nothing, that's okay.
Nothing. But,
so okay. Cool. So what have you done over the last 2 weeks? Period. What I know you said you had to cut down on sugar and carbs, mm-hmm. but like, how much are you tracking calories? What have you been doing to lose 4 pounds in 2 weeks?
Okay, so I'm tracking calories, which I've been doing. I can't even settle on a goal number in my Lose It app. Like, I will change that number. I don't know. I'll change it twice in a week. I just
can't. Well, that's a fucking problem right there.
What?
You can't be changing that. You pick a number and you got to stick with it. This, you can't change the number all the time.
That's I just fucking change with your it like... Finally, I just like 2 weeks ago, I'm like, and I have my son's wedding is coming up, and it was supposed to be next year. And now it's in September because we've got baby on the way, which is it's like, I know, I'm like, I needed a year to lose weight. And I know my whole family's like, Mom, you've been saying that for years. You haven't lost the weight. So what the hell? What the fuck, Mom? But it's like, so I'm like, let me just use 1.5 pounds a week. So that's what I finally just plugged in. And Jordan, I'm just like an idiot with it. Like, I just keep like change. So now it's set at, I don't know, 1583 or some weird number, whatever Lose It came up with when I put in 1.5 pounds. I did the one, my goal weight, I put as 175.
Okay.
Which I know sounds high to probably, you know, I'm 5'7".
No, it does not sound high at all.
It's just when I weighed that, I was like, I did. That's when I ran my marathon. Like, that's when I did all this. Like, I was a beast at 175. Like, I did great. And
that's
I was
perfect.
Comfortable in my clothes. looking back, I would probably say, yeah, but I was always chasing a smaller number, but I still was, felt like I was still living life, you know, doing great. So I did the 175 times 12 and it came out to be 2,100 calories. And I thought, oh my God, that's too high. You know? Yeah. So I plugged it in, you know, this is one of my, I'm like, well, you know, you're going to change it in 4 days. So whatever, well, you know, plug it in. Like plugging that number in means anything if you don't do it, but I plugged the number in and it was the first time I found myself tracking honestly.
Wow. That's good.
Because I felt, you know, when I had it at 1600 or 1500 or, you know, I think for 10 minutes, I had it at 1200.
Oh, dear Lord.
Whenever I did that, I was always like manipulating, like, oh, maybe that was 100. Oh, maybe it was only 90 calories. Let me change it. I would like change the numbers to get the end total. If it was 1600, I'm like, oh, well, maybe that was only that. Maybe that was this. Like, what an idiot. Like, you can't change. You ate it. Your body knows it was 120 calories. You can put in 80. But, and that's, you know, but I play these little games with it. But when I did the 2100, I found I wasn't changing what I put in that morning. I was like, you're going to put this in right now, whatever you ate, and you're not going to, I didn't allow myself to touch it. This is the calories you ate. Don't touch it at the end of the day to make it, you know, equal a certain number. And I wasn't even hitting the 2100 quite, like, because I was tracking honestly for the first time. I wasn't, because the number was big. And, but then I got this diagnosis of the pre-diabetic, and then I'm like, ah, 2100 is too much, you know. So I never even, like, again, I gave it 5 days. I didn't lose any weight. So then I changed it to six, you know, whatever. I just keep, you know, I can't, but I did learn a lot in, you know, in that you need to track honestly. Like,
so where are you at right now for calories?
1583.
Is that what the nutritionist put you on?
No, it's just what the Lose It app put me on. The nutritionist told me to watch, I'm supposed to have 30 to 45 grams of carbs per meal. Okay. And 15 grams of carbs per snack.
Okay, good. So that's a fair amount in terms of, you have three meals and how many snacks?
Two. I mean, that's what I'm, yeah, two. That's three what meals, it allows two snacks. For.
So,
yeah.
So good. It's not outrageously low. It is a little bit lower, but I understand it from the pre-diabetes perspective. So that's totally fine. The nutritionist did not tell you anything about calories?
No. She did not give me a cat. We didn't even talk about weight loss. We only talked about the diabetes.
Okay, cool. All right, good. Yeah. That's totally fine. So you and I are going to talk about calories and we're going to talk about weight loss because that's what it sounds like you want. And also, I mean, that will help with your overall health for sure. Yeah. I love everything that you said you noticed about the 2100 from the very first thing you said, which is like, at first I thought it was too high. That is the most common thing that I get when people use the calorie calculation. Like, I think it's too high. And the reason they think it's too high is because they think, like, in the past, this is what they say. They're like, well, in the past, I've only been able to lose weight when I ate like 1200 or 1300 or 1400. And I'm like, and then what happened after you lost that weight? Well, I gained it back. So clearly it didn't fucking work, right? If you gained it back, it didn't work. I'll tell you a very interesting fact. So gambling is very interesting to me, like looking at the gambling addiction, what's going on with gamblers. I have my father's father was a real gambler. He lost everything to gambling. Oh my God. So I'm always very intrigued by it. And when you look at research around the brain response within gamblers, this thing that blows me away. When you look at the brain response to a gambler, they have a nearly identical brain response from when they actually win a bet to when they almost win a bet. And almost winning is the same thing as losing, right? So it's like, yes, you either win or lose a bet. Almost winning is still losing. You lose your money. But the brain response that they get from winning and almost winning is nearly identical. And that's why you hear gamblers always talking about, especially gamblers who are struggling, they'll be like, oh, I was so close, I almost got it. This is what they do. And this is one mm-hmm. of the reasons it can be so addicting. I noticed the exact same thing with people who struggle with weight loss, where all they think about is how they lost the weight and completely forget about how they gained it right back because what they did was unsustainable. Oh yeah, I lost all this weight on this amazing program. It was great. But it's like, but what happened after it was over? Well, I gained it back. And it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that part. It's mm-hmm. it's so, so important. And so this is why I really want to focus on a sustainable approach, and that's going to be with higher calories. So what people will do is they'll eat 1200, 1300, 1400, whatever it is, way too low for them. And then they'll lose a lot of weight and then they gain it right back. And they think that the only way for them to lose weight is by eating so little calories, these 12, 13, 14. So then all of a sudden when they get 1800, 1900, 2000, 2100, they think, oh my God, like that's way too high. There's no way I'm gonna be able to lose weight on that. But when they're actually consistent with it, they realize, you know what, I'm not even really hungry enough to eat all of this. And even if they are, it's fine. But they can be more consistent with 1,800, 1,900, 2,000, 2,100 than they were with 1,200. So then that consistency allows them to lose weight and maintain it for the long term. So we don't have to keep you at 2,100 if you don't want to. Like, actually, let me do the calculation real quick on my phone. You said it was 175, right?
It's my goal weight, yeah.
All right, so we're going to do 175, which I think is a great goal weight base. You said you're 215 right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, 175, yeah. It's 2,100. I mean, what I would say is, did you say the one you got from the Lose It app was like 1583 or something?
Yes, because I put in to lose a pound and a half a week.
Okay, so number one, fuck 1583. that is such an obnoxious number to give somebody. Like, you have to hit exactly 1583. Get the fuck out of here. Absolutely not. So we're going to fuck that number. And then also, I hate it. I hate the idea of trying to lose X amount per week. Do you know why I hate that specifically?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, Tanya, the reason I hate trying to lose X amount per week is because you will not lose X amount per week. The body doesn't work like that. Even if you're perfect, some weeks you're going to be down, other weeks you're going to be up. And imagine if you, let's say you lost 4 pounds in the first week. Let's just say that, 4 pounds in the first week. You know what? Fuck it. You lost 4 pounds in the first 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Let's use that example. 4 pounds the first 2 weeks. Amazing. That's 2 pounds a week, right?
Yeah.
So for you, you're like, cool, that's awesome. What happens if this coming week you only lose half a pound? Would you be happy about that?
No.
You'd be pissed, right?
Yeah.
So you'd be pissed about that. But realistically, in 3 weeks, that would still be 4.5 pounds, right? But you could only look at that 1 week and say, but it was only half a pound. But if you actually average it out over the 3 weeks, you're still losing exactly what you want, but it's so easy to only focus on that 1 week. Yes. So this is why I need to lose. And this, you know what, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was in college, I made a spreadsheet on my computer based around how much weight I wanted to gain in a strength perspective, like how much weight I wanted to put onto my lifts, how much strength I wanted to gain to it. And I was like, cool. So if I gain this amount of strength every single workout and this much every week and this much every month, then by the end of the year, I'll be here. And it worked out for not a day. Like I thought I was so smart. I spent an entire weekend putting this thing together, trying to come up with the perfect numbers, perfect ratios, da 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 da. Boom, went to the gym. No, didn't work that way. Just, it doesn't work that way. That we cannot control how strong the body gets, the rate that it gets strength, how quickly we lose weight, how consistently we lose weight. So the idea of making this weekly schedule of weight loss, I don't like it. This is why I actually prefer to focus on your consistency as opposed to the weight. Now, we don't have to do that because I know you said you don't even open the consistency calendar, but—
No, I love the consistency calendar. I'm just not consistent.
So we're going to work on that. We're going to work on the consistency. But I want you to do is for your weight loss, I know you do have a deadline specifically for your son's wedding, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you say 2,100 was like a lot for you? Like you didn't feel like you needed to eat all of that?
Oh, I can't. I mean, I can eat it all. And it wasn't like I was coming in way under. I mean, I can. I have the appetite of a 15-year-old boy. Like,
okay, okay, cool.
Not a 59-year-old woman. I mean, I just have a really big appetite. So yeah. Can I eat 2,100 calories a day? Absolutely. Probably not as with cutting out sugar like I've done, like, or really limiting it.
I interesting. Think it's
gonna be really easy because before, you know, when I was doing the 20, I mean, I would have 800 calories of shit. Like, you know, now that I don't get to have 800 or 900 calories of crap, you know, I'll say I haven't tried it with this new thing where I'm, you know, reducing carbs and reducing sugar. I haven't tried the 2,100 with that, but I think I was just taking too much leeway with the 2,100 and just eating a ton of it. Like, oh,
got it.
I can eat this. I can have a cupcake. I can have the
frosting. You've got the room. So why not fill it with some high calorie, high sugar food. Got it. Okay. Yes.
Palatable foods and other foods. Like what I'm eating now is like, I mean, you can only eat so much. I mean, I cook, you know, we cook a lot. We cook at home all the time. I mean, but it's like, I don't know how many eggs, I can only eat like one egg at a time, but I could eat four muffins.
Yes. Like, yep. That's the perfect example of palatability. That's exactly right.
And Jordan, here, when I did the 21, when I went to reducing my carbs and sugar, my protein, because I look at all the, my protein grams almost tripled.
I believe that. I
like all of a sudden I was like, cause you know, I'm like here, I'm trying, you know, I'm like eating dinner and I'll just have 4 ounces of chicken. Cause I don't have any calories left. Now I'm like, I still have 700 calories for chicken. So I'll eat 8 ounces of chicken, you know, like I can eat more because by dinner time, I was usually really running out of calories. So I took it out on the chicken and the salad. Like, well, you got to cut back your chicken breast and salad, girlfriend, because you've eaten all the cupcakes. Like, it's like, what the hell? So with this, you know, health scare, I'm like, even my husband's like, you're eating a whole chicken breast? I'm like, I got a lot of calories left.
Yeah. And tell your husband, like, this is what I need to do. Like, be on board, support, like, that's eating a whole chicken breast. That's not fucking weird. It's so funny. Like, people nowadays will be like, oh, here, have 5 beers, and they won't bat an eyelash, but eat a whole chicken breast, and all of a sudden that's fucking weird. Like, what's going on? It's like, oh yeah, here, 5 beers, cool, awesome. I'm having a whole chicken breast. That's fucking odd. Like, are you out of your mind? How is that? In what world is this odd? Like, people, it's so strange to me. But so here's what I want you to do. So we're going to 2,100 is going to be your max. Okay. It's your high. Your low is going to, I'm going to say 1,500. Now this is a big range. I usually prefer a smaller range. Usually my range is about 200. So usually I would probably give you between 1,900 to 2,100. I'm giving you 1,500 to 2,100 because I understand there will be times in which you don't want to eat more. Maybe you're just not hungry or whatever. So I want you to be okay and not feel bad if you don't get to 1,900, for example. But
love it.
Equally, I do not want you feeling guilty at all for eating all 2,100 calories. There is zero reason to feel bad about eating 2,100. That is the range that I have you in deliberately. And let's say you go to 2,102. Don't you fucking dare feel like a failure. Like, I don't care if you go to 2,102 calories. Ideally, just do your best to be within the range of 1,500 to 2,100 on a daily basis. That's your sweet spot. Okay.
I love that.
Okay.
I absolutely love that because there are days where I can just do that just because not all the food I'm eating now is highly palatable.
Correct.
So it's going to be, I can have a day where I'm like,
when you have very high quality food, when the vast majority of your nutrition is very high quality, it can be super challenging to eat enough calories. It really can, which is frankly an amazing lesson to learn. I think it's, you might look back on this 10 years from now and think like, wow, what a blessing it was to have that diagnosis. And then, cause that really forced me to get my nutrition in check and forced me to eat fewer processed foods and fewer high sugar snacks and really focus on these nutrient dense foods. And then all of a sudden, like, you lose weight sustainably. You can still enjoy your favorite foods, but you can do it more in moderation. This might actually end up being one of the greatest things that happens to you.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. The wake up call.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, a lot of the people, anyone who, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, like, you know, sometimes I'll interview people who've lost a lot of weight and they've been able to maintain it for years. And the common theme among them, I always ask, what was the thing that got you to finally change? Because the story is almost always the same from the beginning, where they tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed. And then something happens and all of a sudden it works. And without fail, every single time, it leads back to something to do with fear. And as a coach, I struggle with this, right? I struggle from the perspective of, on one hand, I want everyone to succeed. I want people to lose weight. And so I look at the research and I look at personal anecdotes, and fear, whether it's a diagnosis of prediabetes or diabetes or heart disease, or they have a stroke, they have a heart attack, whatever it is, fear of not being able to walk their daughter down the aisle. There's so many different things that could happen, but fear is the number one. So as a coach, I want everyone to succeed. And if I look at the research, I know fear is the number one reason why someone might make that change. But on the other hand, I don't like the idea of trying to scare people into doing something. And what I've realized is that the fear has to come from you. Like, I can't put fear into someone. I can't synthetically create a situation that will create fear. It has to happen in a way that exactly you did, where you went to the doctor and they told you, hey, you're pre-diabetic, and all of a sudden, and that has a lot of meaning to you, a lot of emotional meaning, historical meaning to you and your family. Like, that was a big, big wake-up call. I think this is that for you. I think this is going to be the thing for you that pushes you to be like, I'm going to be consistent now, because all of a sudden it's worth it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I have a great life. Like, I'm not saying I'm not rich, I'm not fancy, but I have a great, I'm like the saddest person in a great life. Like, and the only thing I'm sad about is my body. And I mean, because I used, you know, I even modeled when I was a teenager, very local stuff and stuff. So I was like, I've never been this person before. But so it makes me sad. But then again, I look at my life, like I said, all my kids are in the area. They're all having babies. I love all my in-laws, you know, all their partners. I have the great life, but I wake up every morning sad. And I just think that there's no reason for me to be sad other than my body. And that is one thing I can control. I think I can, but
you absolutely can. 100%.
In reality, I can't control rioting or hatred or vitriol towards people I love, but I can control what I put in my mouth if I choose to.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think that, you know, this wake up call, like, I have a lot. Would I love to be 30 years old again? Yeah, that'd be cool. But you know what's super cool? To be 59 also and have these grandkids to live for. I mean, my little grandson is like, I'm his best friend. You know, it's like there's so much to live for as you get older that health becomes, there's a vanity aspect, of course, but health is like, I just wish I could tell everybody younger than me, like, protect your health, you know, the money, the home, you know, all the other things that were all important too. But if you don't have your health, there's just nothing, you know, as if the pandemic has taught us anything too, like, you need to be healthy if you can help it. If I get cancer tomorrow, I can't help that. But this diagnosis is like, it's just a wake up call. It's not bad. I don't, that, you know, like you say, it could be the best thing that ever happened to me. I agree with you that someone telling me that I need to be healthier and put healthier crap in my mouth is not a bad thing, you know, and I know that. And I'm so grateful for like hearing your words all the time. Like I think I've almost listened to every one of your podcasts. And you've had so many successful people. And I'm like, and I've also found the Inner Circle and Jordan and these workouts. So it's like, it's all right there. I just need to embrace it. Yeah. And it's harder than it seems, you know?
It's very fucking hard. It's brutally hard. It's super hard. It's simple in concept.
Oh yeah.
Very difficult in practice. And that's why I think the best coaches, of which there are many amazing coaches who do their best to break things down as simply as possible into just what is the most important. And the good news is, I mean, you've already got a massive part of the equation down in regard to activity, walking, getting your steps in, working out. Yeah. Like that is huge. The fact that you have that already down, I'm super proud of you. And I hope,
thank you.
I hope you give yourself credit for that. And I hope you don't overlook that, because some people, they struggle with both equally. And
yeah,
and so for you to already have that other part, it's a huge advantage, and it will make it, it doesn't make it easy, but it makes it easier. And yeah. So now it's like, cool. Now we don't have to worry about both. Let's just worry about one. And that's why number one, 1500 to 2100 calories is your range. I'm not even going to give you a protein number, because you've already got the numbers for your carbs and sugar that your dietitian gave you.
Yeah.
So you've got your two numbers, and and right now the focus is health. And as you hit these calorie numbers, and as you improve your diagnosis, and as you get healthier, I promise you the weight will come off. Even if you eat 2100 every single day, if you eat 2100 calories every day, you will lose weight. The other thing I wanted to talk about was this wedding coming up in September. Mm-hmm. You said something interesting. You said something when you first spoke about that, you said it was supposed to be in another year, but now his fiance is pregnant. And so it's going to be in September, which I love. I think that's amazing. And you said your family said something to the effect of like, well, mom, you've been talking about losing weight, but you still haven't. So whatever. You don't need to lose a certain amount of weight for this wedding. I know you know that, but I have to say this. You do not need to lose X amount of weight for this wedding. No one in your family gives a fuck. All they care about is that you're there. That's it.
Yes.
They just want you to be there, and they want you to be there and be happy and be present and laughing and dancing, and that's it. They don't care if you've lost 4 pounds or 24 pounds. It doesn't matter. They might be very impressed with you if you're 10 pounds down between now and then, which is very doable, by the way, 10 pounds in that time frame. And they might be like, oh, you look great, amazing. But I don't want you to try to lose weight more quickly for the wedding, because that's how bad habits start. That is an unsustainable approach. And all I want you to do is promise me, and more importantly, promise yourself that you're going to stick with 1500 to 2100 for 3 months straight. For 3 months, you're going to do just that calorie range and follow the instructions for your dietitian regarding carbs and sugar. That's all I want you to focus on. That is it. Okay. And don't you dare count calories on the wedding day. Like, absolutely not. Don't even think about it. But I would love 80% consistency between now and the next 3 months with 1500 to 2100 calories. Do you think you can do that?
Oh, absolutely.
I love that. I love the confidence there.
No, I can, because I think I'm really happy about the range too, because I would struggle if it was just within 100 calories, I think. I think I need to have that. And then the 80% consistency. And I'm going to do that consistent. I love the consistency calendar. Like, I don't know how you came up with that, but
I just made it up. Do you know the story or no?
No, I just love
so
it.
The story is, so I was doing, I don't really do one-on-one coaching anymore, but I did for many, many years. And the cool part about one-on-one coaching is essentially what we're doing right now. I would have these types of conversations all day, every day, via phone, via email, everything. That's actually how I came up with the idea for the podcast, was because I was having conversations just like this one every day. And I was like, everyone's struggling with the same thing. I need to record these calls so people can hear that they're not alone. But for the consistency calendar, I would get the funniest emails. And the email was really the way that I figured it out, was I would get emails from people who would say something like, and let's say on Sunday, they would email me. They'd be like, ah, yeah, I haven't been consistent this weekend at all. I've been out, I've been drinking, I've been eating, da da da, not good. And that same person on Tuesday would email me and be like, I don't know why I'm not making progress. And literally, like, less than 48 hours later, they'd be like, I don't know why I'm not making progress. They'd be really upset. And I'd be like, could you just do me a favor and scroll back through the emails from the last few days and tell me if you can jog your memory? And they're like, oh, my God, I completely forgot about this weekend. And it's like, and that was a huge light bulb moment for me. And this happened hundreds, if not thousands of times. And finally, I was like, I need to come up with a visual that people can have in front of their fucking face so that they can remember when were they consistent, when were they not. And so I came up with the consistency calendar idea, because it doesn't lie. It shows you exactly on a percentage basis out of 30, 31 days, whatever it is, how many days you've been consistent, how many you haven't. And if you're the cool thing is this, what I always say 80% consistent. I've found that even with 70% consistency, people see amazing results, which is wonderful. But 80% is where people tend to be the happiest from the rate of progress. And 90% plus often leads to them being very happy with their rate of progress, but unhappy with their lifestyle. It's just too rigid. Yeah. So I like the 75 to 85%-ish range. But so it is very interesting, though. I like the 70% knowledge, just because if you're not in a rush, which I don't think people should be in a rush for this stuff, if you're not in a rush, cool, you have more leniency. 70% consistency, it's a C-minus effort, but you can still see great results. So it's like the issue is when people are 70% consistent and they're upset that they're not getting the same rate of results as someone who's 85% consistent. It's like, well, if a student who gets C minuses in everything isn't going to get in the same college as a student who gets a B in everything. Just that's how it works. So if you're given a C minus effort, don't be upset that you're not getting B results.
And the only way to know that is to keep track of it.
That's exactly right.
Otherwise, you don't know. Yeah. Otherwise, you sit here like me going, I don't know why I don't lose weight.
But no, the thing about you, Tanya, is that you are very objective and you do know. Like, from the moment we started talking, you're a no bullshit person. I love it. Like, sometimes in conversations, I have to structure the conversation in a way to get the person to realize the mistakes they're making. With you, it's been such a straightforward conversation because you know what's going on. You know what you need to do. You know what you've been doing. It's like there was no beating around the bush. There was no – I didn't have to try and structure the conversation in a way to try and get you to come up with anything on your own. You know it. So it's like you are very – you're on a different level than most people. You know what's going on. You know what you need to do. You know the mistakes you've been making. And now we're ready to tackle this head on. Like, you are a different type of person, and I'm super excited to see your results.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Well,
I mean that. And I don't say that lightly.
Good coming from you. Like, you're just amazing anyway. Thank you. Yes, I do know. Yeah. I mean, I've been involved in this kind of life, you know, working out, and, you know, I've been doing it for a long time. So, you know, it's not hard to see that chowing down 3 cupcakes is not a good idea.
You know, it speaks to the kind of person you are. I also think it speaks to going back to, you know, you're a part of a law enforcement family. You know, I've found that a lot of people who are part of that lifestyle, spouses included, you know, you've got to be straightforward. It's just like, just say like it is. Just say it like it is. We're not going to beat around the bush. So, I mean, I'm sure it's part of who you are and your upbringing and part of, you know, just it's part of your marriage and your family. But you've listened to my podcast, you know, I don't know if you've been able to pick up on it, but there's a tool that I use. It's called motivational interviewing. It's a whole book written on it. It's a psychological tool that psychologists use. It's a way to communicate with clients or patients to help structure a conversation. And I think for someone who's listening without knowing, maybe they don't realize it, but I've gotten tons of messages from psychologists being like, holy shit, you're using motivational interviewing in your podcast. And I read that book. Wow. I read that book, I think, in 2009, 2010. It changed my life forever. But with you, I didn't have to use any certain discussion. Basically, the way motivational interviewing works is it's a tool that allows you to learn how to structure a conversation to get people to figure out what it is they need to do on their own. If you really listen to my podcast going forward, you'll see the vast majority of the time, I'm not the one coming up with what they need to do. It's the person coming up with what they need to do.
And yes, I've noticed that.
Yeah. With you, it was very simple. It's like you knew what to do from the beginning, and we got background information and we spoke, but there was not much really like manipulation of how the conversation was going, because you led me right there. Like from the very beginning, you took the reins and you had control of the conversation. You're straightforward, you're honest, you're objective. Most people are not that way. So, I mean, I'm very excited because between the confidence with which you said, oh, yes, I know I can do that with 80% consistency, along with your objectivity, in addition to the recent diagnosis and how serious you are about changing this, there isn't a doubt in my mind that you're going to succeed. Like, not a doubt in my mind, not a shred. I'm very excited for you.
No, thank you. No, and I think you said I think 80% consistency, the reason I reacted like that, if you'd have said 95% consistency, I probably would have been like, but when you say 80, I'm like, oh, good, you know, because I have this on, you know, the 23rd, and I have, you know, so I can have a couple days of, you know, doing life, you know.
100%.
Yeah. So I do thank you for that, for your realism.
No one wants to be 100% consistent. Like that sucks. I always say like 100% consistency isn't perfect. It's prison. Like you're not enjoying life. And another thing you said that I loved is like, listen, you're like, I'm not super rich. I'm not fancy, but I have an amazing life. Like, I saw a post on Instagram today from one of my favorite fighters in the UFC. He's retired now. His name is Khabib Nurmagomedov. And he put, this guy is probably one of the wealthiest people in the world. And wow. he just put up a video of himself swimming in a lake. And the caption was just simply like, you don't need a lot to be happy. And I was like, fuck, it's so good. Like, sometimes we get so focused on the wrong things, and you can hear it in your voice, Tanya. Like, you're a happy person. You have great energy. You give so much to people. I can tell just from talking to you, like, you have so much to give. You have so much energy, so much love, so much passion, so much excitement. And like you said, there's this one thing that is making you not happy. And now's the time to focus on you and to make this happen.
And I'm going to do it. Yeah.
I know you are. I know you are.
Wow. No, you've made me. I mean, this really helped today. Just hearing that I'm moving in the right direction. Just like getting that assurance from you that, because I don't really, like, I mention it to my husband, but I don't really talk about it. You know, obviously he knows I've gained weight, but you know, it's not something I really talk to. I mentioned, you know, losing weight with the kids, very like, oh, I'm gonna lose some weight, blah, 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 you know, but I don't really talk about it. Like, they don't really know what I'm going through. And just to hear that you think I can be successful means a lot, because I really respect you. And you know, every one of your podcasts is my favorite.
well,
the Israel one, though, the one where you talk about going to Israel, though. Oh,
you love that one?
Oh, it's my favorite. Oh, like when you do them by yourself, when you do them just you, and I love hearing from all the people too, but sometimes when you just do one by yourself, I'm just like, this guy really, he's putting himself out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You really do. And people, I mean, I'm sure everyone just loves you. Like, it's, you're just, you know, so you are doing a great service to you have people all over the world, so you're doing a great service worldwide, which not too many people can say. So
Thank you, Tanya. And
good for you.
I know you said you don't really talk too much to your family about it. I'm going to be publishing this tomorrow. I have a huge backlog of podcasts, and this one, I was just like, people got to hear this. People need to hear it. So I'm publishing this tomorrow. You don't have to. It might be worth sending to your family to say like, hey, you know, this is just something I haven't spoken with you about as very much, but I had a wonderful conversation with this short, bald, nerdy guy, and we had
You're adorable.
It might, and you don't have to. You do not have to at all, but it might be worthwhile if you'd like to, just so they can sort of maybe know and support you through it. I know they're going to support you anyway, but sometimes I think it might be beneficial for them to be able to hear this vulnerable side that maybe they don't hear from you otherwise.
Yeah. No, I do hide that a little bit. Like, I always feel I'm the mom. I got to be the strong one, you know, I'm the mom.
Which is true, I think is true. You know, as a parent, you take on the responsibility of, you know, I'm the parent and I've got to be the strong one. But I also think that as a child as well, I appreciate when my mom lets me in. I do. I think if I was a kid, it would be different. Like there's got to be some boundary there. But as an adult, it's, you know, your kids can tell, especially as adults, they know when things aren't 100%. Just like, you know how moms always know. My mom says this to me all the time. Moms always know, like my mom can hear in my voice if something is wrong or like, your kids do too. Like kids know, like kids can tell, no matter how good you think you are at hiding it. We know because, you know, we're your kids, we're family. Yeah. So it might be, and again, whatever you choose, there's no right or wrong here, but I would imagine you might be surprised at how well they take it and how much extra they support you with it.
I think so. It's like letting them all the way in instead of partially in.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. And they're great kids. I mean, they're my best friends. They're great people. And so,
they've got a great role model with their mother.
Oh, thank you, God. Oh, it's a job. You'll see.
Tanya, are you on Instagram by chance?
I am, but I don't post anything.
Okay. I'm going to ask.
I only follow.
You do not need to give your handle if you don't want to, but I like to offer this occasionally. Would you like people who listen to this to reach out to you if they'd like to, or would you prefer to stay anonymous?
Either one is totally fine. Oh, no, okay. Absolutely. It's just Tanya Harlan, just TanyaHarlin.
Okay, Tanya Harlan, TanyaHarlin. Perfect. Yeah. So because sometimes people, I'll record a podcast like this and I'll publish it and I don't ask the person for their Instagram or something, and I get a lot of messages. Oh, I really wanted to message her. I really wanted to message him. And so, especially with a story like this and with such an amazing conversation with you, I know people are going to want to reach out. So I just
That'd
wanted
great.
To get that. Awesome. Yeah. Perfect.
That'd
amazing.
Be great. Wow. Thank you so much, Jordan. You are the best.
Thank you. You're amazing. I don't say that lightly. I'm very proud of you already. I know without a shadow of a doubt you're going to succeed. If you ever need anything, you know how to reach me. You know how to get in touch with me. Please, 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 please keep me updated with how everything is going. And if you need any help, do not hesitate. Like, and I mean that. Anytime, any place, just let me know and I'm here.
Oh, wow. Thank you. You're a gift. Thank you so much. And I will. I'll do little updates. Maybe I'll do once a month.
Please do.
Facebook. Yeah. I'm doing this this time, buddy. I'm doing it.
Let's fucking go, Tanya. It's time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful night, Tanya. I'll talk to you
soon.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. They really help the podcast a lot. So huge thank you to everyone who's done that already. And if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at www.sfinnercircle.com or just go to the link in the show notes. Have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon.